his time. All right, here we are, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Please stand with me out of honor to God and his word as I read. By the way, this should sound familiar to you if you've read this passage before, or if you grew up in the hippie generation like I did. It was a song based on this passage, Turn, Turn, Turn. You remember that? Here we go. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Thank you. May be seated. So looking this morning at in his time. Now, speaking of times, there was this guy, and he was a salesman, and he was traveling, and he'd driven all night long so that he could get to his appointment in the next morning. And so he decided to catch a little bit of shut-eye before the appointment. So he pulls into this city park, into a parking spot, and he leans his seat back. He's going to catch some Z's, and all of a sudden, there's a knock on his window. So he rolls down the window. It's a jogger. And the jogger says, "Excuse me, sir, can you tell me what time it is?" So he looks at his watch. He says, "It's 7:30. Rolls his window up, then he leans back for some more shut-eye. A few minutes later, there's another knock on the window, another jogger. He rolls the window down, jogger says, "Excuse me, sir, can you tell me what time it is?" The guy looks at his watch, he says, "Well, it's 7:40. And he rolls the window back up. He leans back, try to get some more sleep. Another knock at the window, another jogger. He rolls the window down. The jogger says, "Excuse me, sir, can you tell me what time it is?" The guy says, "It's 7:50. He says, "You know what? I'm tired of this." And so he gets out a piece of paper. He writes a note. He puts it on the outside of the window and says, "I don't know what time it is." Then he leans back for some shut-eye. Another knock at the window. Another jogger. He rolls the window down. He said, "Can I help you?" The jogger says, "Yeah. You want to know what time it is? It's 8 o'clock. Let's look at in his time. First of all, I want you to see there's timing in everything. There is timing in everything. Solomon here lists 28 events common to mankind. He poetically arranges them in pairs of opposites, time to be born, time to die. To some extent, we all experience these extremes as well as the various points in between. But understand this, that God's timing is perfect just like God is. In fact, when you look to where it says in verse 1, to everything there is a season, the word season literally means fitting time. There is a fitting time, there is a perfect time, because there's timing in everything, and God's timing is perfect just like he is. Sometimes, though, his timing doesn't make sense to us. As we go through life and different things happen, it doesn't seem to make sense, that perfect timing of his. But sometimes in this life, we can look back and understand. Things happen, and we look back and say, "Oh, yeah, I see kind of how that, okay, I get that." Other times, only the perspective of eternity will provide the answers that we seek. But there is timing in everything, and God's timing is perfect like he is. And let's look at some of these. He said there's a time to be born and a time to die. Well, there is a time to be born. We all have a birth date. Every one of us has a birth date. And conception and birth is an absolute miracle of God. Life must be protected at all stages and at all costs. And we believe every child conceived has the right to be born. There's a time to be born. And God ensures that not only great leaders and inventors show up at just the right time, but everybody else as well. I don't want you to think that God only focuses on the important people of history, the leaders, the inventors, and others, the teachers, and so on. God does ensure that the great leaders and inventors show up at the right time, but he's ensured that everybody else shows up at just the right time too. As Mordecai told Esther in Esther 4:4, this was her uncle. He says, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, Mordecai was saying, "Esther, you need to step forward and you need to save your people. How do you know and how do I know if maybe God didn't put you on this earth for this very purpose?" Now, Mordecai was saying, "We don't know. Maybe this is why you were here. We've read the story. We know that's exactly why she was there." And there's no question with our New Testament understanding of the scriptures and of who God is that we have all been placed here for a special purpose of God. He says there's a time to be born, but he also says there's a time to die. There's a time to die. We all have a death date. We only have a birth date. We all have a death date. Comedian Stephen Wright said he knew when he was going to die because he looked at his birth certificate and it had an expiration date on it. In verse 7, Solomon says there's a time to tear and a time to mend. Now, these are related because the idea of tearing, a Hebrew mourning ritual required tearing your clothes. And so when something sad happened to you and somebody passed away, you'd actually take your clothes and tear them. And he says there is a time to tear, but he says there's also a time to mend. Mending the clothing represents the healing of grief over time. We have that old expression in our society, time heals all wounds. And God does through time. He makes these wounds that we have more bearable. God has purposeful work for each of us to do. And once that work is completed, so is our time on earth. Let me say that again. God has purposeful work for each of us to do, and once that work is completed, so is our time on earth. Now, sometimes it's easy to see. Somebody that God has used in a really big and public and mighty way, we can say, yeah, I see exactly how God was using that person, and now his ministry is finished. We can get that. But let's be honest. We see people languishing in nursing homes for years. What's God's purpose in that? Well, I wish I could tell you. I don't know, but I guarantee you, God even has purpose and God even has work for that person to do. And once that work is completed, then they can be called home. And listen to this, accepting the rapture, we all have an appointment with death that must be kept. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We all have an appointment with death that must be kept. People joke about folks that are always running late and say, oh, he'll be late to his own funeral. Ha, 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 that's funny. It's not true. No one will be late. Everyone will be just on time for his appointment with death. One's moment of death cannot be altered. One's moment of death cannot be moved. Death is unavoidable. Death is unstoppable. Death is unyielding. And my friends, your appointment with death will come whether you're ready or not. Your appointment with death, and I don't know what it is, but God knows, your appointment with death will come whether you're ready or not. Make sure you're ready. You say, well, how do I get ready? Do I need to get life insurance? Do I need to pay off some bills? Well, those are important things, I suppose. But you need to be spiritually ready to die. And you get spiritually ready to die in only one way. You receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that Jesus was buried for your sins, and the third day Jesus rose again from the dead. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, and when you believe that he did that for you, and when he grants you eternal life, then and only then are you ready to die. But accepting the rapture, we all have an appointment with death. Make sure you're ready to die. Well, he goes on to say there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. And related to in verse 5, he says there's a time to cast away stones and there's a time to gather stones. Now, what does that mean? Well, the idea of removing stones is removing stones in order to farm. If you have a field you want to farm and it's full of rocks and sticks and things like that, you need to get all that stuff out of there so you can plow your road. And so there's a time to remove stones, but there's also, he says, a time to gather stones. Let me tell you what this is. This is intentionally placing stones in your enemy's field so that he can't farm. So when you conquer your enemy, whoever that might be back in those days, you put salt in their field and you put rocks in their field so they can't grow crops. Solomon says there's a time for that. But let's focus on this farming aspect. What if nobody ever planted anything? What would happen? If nobody ever planted anything, world starvation would occur. For you see, God has designed plants to reproduce, but not to feed the world. You need farmers to feed the world. And what if nobody ever picked the fruit that was produced? And we all know that a field that is not harvested or that is not plowed under will not produce. There is a time to plant, there is a time to pluck up. Well, he goes on to say in verse 3, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. He also mentions in verse 8 a time of war and a time of peace. Now, war is the result of sin, but it is used by God to accomplish his purposes. And do you realize the Bible says God is a man of war? Look here at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3. The Lord, this is, by the way, all in caps in the King James. This is God's personal name, Yahweh. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. God is a man of war, but he's also a healer. Well, verse 3, Solomon says, there's a time to break down and there's a time to build up. Things wear out and need to be replaced. This is one of the effects of sin on creation. Stuff breaks. People break. We're constantly dealing with sin's effects on our lives and on our things, whether it's disease or aching muscles and joints or rust or breakage. But there's a time to break and there's a time to fix. Verse 4 says there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's that old saying, into every life a little rain must fall. There is a time for weeping and there is a time for mourning. But do you realize that sorrow actually does us good? Bible says so. Look here at Ecclesiastes 7:3. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. And laughter, while it accomplishes nothing lasting, it does have a place in our lives too. Look at Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Verse 6 says a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. And look at verse 7. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There is a time to speak up, but there's also a time to shut up, Solomon says. In fact, look here at Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. There is a time to speak up. Again, we have that old expression, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. There is a time to speak up. There is a time to shut up. But the wise man holds his tongue. Look at Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. So there is a time to speak up and there is a time to shut up, but we must always speak up for Christ. We must always speak up for Christ. In fact, some of Jesus' last words to his church in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there is a time to speak up always for Christ, and there's always a time to speak up against tyranny. But there's also a time to keep our mouths shut. Well, verse 8, as we wrap this part up, Solomon says there's a time to love and a time to hate. A time to love and a time to hate. What does he mean? We are to love what God loves, and we are to hate what God hates. So what does God love? Well, God loves his people. God loves his creation. God loves his attributes like justice, righteousness, and holiness. We are to love what God loves. But we're to hate what God hates. Well, what does God hate? I mean, we always talk about how God loves, God is love, Jesus loves you, all that. What does God hate? Well, he tells us. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, look what it says. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that sows discord among the brethren. We must love what God loves. We must hate what God hates. And what does God hate? Pride. He hates lies. He hates hands that shed innocent blood, like abortionists, gang initiations, and terrorists. He hates hearts that devise evil plans. He hates feet that run to sin. He hates false witnesses that incriminate others. He hates troublemakers that cause division. There's a time to love what God loves. There's a time to hate, hating what God hates. And so, my friends, we see there's timing in everything. And it's perfect timing. But secondly, I want you to see that there is purpose in everything. Again, back to verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Not only is there timing in everything, there is purpose in everything. In fact, God's purpose and God's timing go hand in hand. There is an appointed time for everything. You know, one of the frustrations about having repair people come to your house is they never tell you when they're going to show up. They'll give you a time range. I'll be there between this and this. Well, I was walking through the neighborhood the other day. It's not a true story. I was walking through my neighborhood the other day, and there was this cable repair guy out there. And he says, excuse me, do you know what time it is? And I said, yeah, it's between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. There is an appointed time for everything. This concept is known as divine providence. God works things out according to his sovereign will and plan. That's divine providence. There is purpose in everything. Solomon here affirms the sovereignty of God, that God is absolutely in control. And our seemingly chaotic world is actually a divinely well-ordered system. God is directing personal, national, and global events to his intended conclusion. Now, man has a God-given role to play in history, but man cannot alter the divinely determined course of history. God has a purpose in all he does and in all he allows. I want you to hear that again. God has a purpose in all he does and in all he allows. You know, when things happen, what do we say? Well, there must be a reason. There must be a reason this has happened. And there is. God has a purpose. Nothing happens without God's sovereign knowledge and God's sovereign permission. For instance, even death, we talked about death, there's a time to die. What if ever since sin entered into creation, what if death never happened? What if nobody ever died? What would we be faced with? Overcrowding, an inability to feed all these people, never-ending suffering? God has a purpose in death. What about war? Does God have a purpose for war? Yes, God uses war. He uses war to redistribute lands and resources. He uses war to punish sin. You don't need to read very far in the scriptures to find out that God uses war over and over to punish those who are disobedient, even his own people. You read about the northern kingdom of Israel. God sent prophets to warn them, you better straighten up, you better repent, and they didn't. And so God used war between Israel and Assyria, and in 722 B.C., Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, fell. God used war to punish his people. And only about 200 years later, the southern kingdom of Judah, they were disobedient. What did God do? He sent war to them too, this time to the Babylonians, and in 586 B.C., Jerusalem fell. God used war to punish his people. God uses war for something else too, and that is to draw people to himself. There's that old expression, there are no atheists in foxholes. I don't know, but that war may have done more to win soldiers to Christ than anything else. When you're sitting in that foxhole and bombs are going off all around you and your buddies are being blown away on either side of you, you're going to start thinking, you know, this could happen to me. And I heard about Jesus when I was in Sunday school, and my mom took me to church, and I better receive him as my Savior. And so God even uses war to redistribute lands and resources. He uses war to punish sin. He uses war to draw people to himself. And what about peace? God uses peace too. Now, we all want peace. God also uses peace. Think way back into your history lessons to the Pax Romana. Does that ring a bell? The Pax Romana. The Roman Empire for 1,000 years was at a general peace, and God used the Pax Romana to facilitate the spread of the gospel through the entire known world. God uses peace, and he'll use it again in what I call the Pax Christus, the peace of Christ, because the Pax Christus will vindicate Christianity as the Prince of Peace will rule over the earth at peace from the City of Peace for 1,000 years. God has purpose in all that he does and all that he allows. But I want you to understand something very important this morning, and that is that God's purpose includes you. God's purpose includes each and every one of you. Have you considered how you fit into God's plan? Again, I told you before, you're not here by accident. You're not here by mistake. God has a very purpose for you as an individual. Yeah, he thinks about the inventors and the leaders, and but he thinks about you too. And he has a place and a purpose for you in his creation during this very time. you may think you don't matter. You may think you're not important. You may think, you know, nobody even knows I exist. But that's not true. There's at least one person who knows you exist. Your Creator. And He has a purpose for you. You have been born into this world at this time. You have been born into your family at this time for a God-given purpose. Let me say that again. You have been born into this world and into your family at this time for a God-given purpose. Now, I will tell you that the ultimate fulfillment of God's purpose for people is when they receive Christ as personal Savior. That is God's ultimate purpose for people. Now, He has other plans and other purposes, other ways for you to fit in and history and all of that. But God's ultimate purpose for you is that you would receive Christ as your personal Savior. So let me ask you, have you received Christ as your personal Savior? I said before, we all have an appointment with death. And you need to be prepared to die. And the only way to get ready to die is by receiving Christ as your Savior. But have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? That Jesus was buried for your sins? And that Jesus rose again the third day? This will fulfill God's ultimate purpose for your being here on this earth, to receive His Son, Christ, as your Savior. And so there's timing in everything. There's purpose in everything. And I want to show you one more thing from verse 11, and that is there is beauty in everything. Look at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in His time. There's beauty in everything. All of creation with its intricate workings is functioning according to God's overall plan. The entire universe. It is a beautiful choreographed display of God's majesty. The planetary orbits and stars, it's not here by accident, by chance. We're not in the midst of a huge universal explosion, expansion, and contraction. This is all choreographed, demonstrating the very majesty of God. But even more mundane things, like the water cycle here on earth, the food chain, even the seemingly insignificant events of our daily lives, it's all choreographed. It's all beautiful because God makes it so. And my friends, we need to take time to notice all the beauty all around us. You say, well, I notice when the flowers bloom. I notice when snow blankets everything. And I even say, God, that's so beautiful. But I'm not talking about just those things. I'm talking about how everything, just in your own personal life, how everything's working, everything's going, everything's doing. You go to sleep, you wake up, you brush your teeth. It's beautiful. If you'd stop and look at it, because God makes it so. There's beauty in everything. And my friends, there's beauty in the timing of everything. Because again, it says in verse 11, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Not in our time. He makes it beautiful in His time. Even the sorrow and grief of our personal tragedies, whether they be miscarriages, the untimely death of a loved one, loss of employment, contraction of a serious or even terminal disease. Remember, God makes all things beautiful in His time. Time and faith reveal hidden beauty. You might not see it right away. You might not see it for eternity. But time and faith reveal hidden beauty because we have a promise that God makes everything beautiful in His time. We have that precious promise that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. What is that saying? It's saying that God makes everything beautiful in His time. As I mentioned before, some circumstances require the perspective of eternity to reveal the beauty that God makes. But my friends, know this. We have a promise from God. Whatever happens, He's going to make it beautiful. Indeed, eternity is when we will see all the pieces come together. Like pieces of a puzzle, when we get to eternity, we're going to see how everything fit just right, just so. And everything will finally make sense when we get to heaven. I say this a lot jokingly, but there is an element of truth in what I say. People often wonder, you know, when I get to heaven, what's the first thing I'm going to say? Am I going to say, praise God? Am I going to say, glory to Jesus? I think when we get to heaven, and when we see how everything worked together perfectly, I think what we're going to say is, oh, 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 now I understand. Now I see. Now that makes sense. And then praise God and glory to Jesus and all the rest of that. But we're going to start with, oh, wow. Makes perfect sense. Indeed, contemplating divine providence will be the wonder of eternity. Do you ever wonder why eternity has to last so long, forever? Because it will take that long for us to contemplate divine providence, how he worked out every single thing for good, how he took bad things and made them beautiful in his time. It'll take eternity for us to fully comprehend just exactly what he was doing. And we will determine at the end of eternity, whenever that is, that he knew exactly what he was doing. And he made everything beautiful in his time. And so this morning we see there's timing in everything. Perfect timing. How do I know it's perfect timing? Because it's God's timing. There is timing in everything. And it's perfect timing because God is perfect. Secondly, we see there's purpose in everything. We don't always see it right now. But there is purpose in everything. Live that way. Live that way. We must trust God with all of our lives. Again, Psalm 31:15. I have in front of you there. The psalmist says, my times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. That's how you and I must live our daily lives. Lord, you've given me this time on earth, and this time is in your hands. And what better place could you put your times than in the hands of Almighty God, your Creator, who makes everything beautiful in his time. So there's timing in everything. There's beauty in everything. There's purpose in everything. Again, we don't always see it right off the bat. And we may never see it in this life. But we know that God makes everything beautiful in his time.